Saddle up your horses. Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walters Show. What a great day it is just to be alive, to proclaim the truths that need to be proclaimed, especially that we still have the freedom, at least as of this morning, to be able to do so, which is why we are on the air. Before we get rolling, I just want to mention that those of you, and this listener base is growing since we've gone to the podcast format. I was really late to this party, but I appreciate the response I've been getting. I've gotten, actually, just this last week, our first multiple responses through rumble.com. Thank you, guys and gals, I guess. I don't know who exactly is writing. Sometimes it's kind of concealed. Doesn't matter. But I just want to let you know that if whatever vehicle by which you're listening and however you get the program, if there's a way you can pass it on, at least a particular program that you think somebody needs to hear, be sure and do it. I just feel like time is short. This is sort of a no-holds-barred approach going forward here because, like I said, I just don't feel like we have a lot of time at the speed at which this country is declining to get the word out, to get a bunch of words out as to what's going on, but why it's going on, and what is the answer to what's going on. So, for those of you who might pass this on, I guess I should repeat it for the others that that might get the program. There are a couple of ways to get it via podcast. Type in The Robin Walter Show, and you should be able to pull it up on Apple, on iTunes, various Android, I guess all the vehicles, with one exception. Rumble requires a different search entry for the program. I can't figure it out, but there is no The. It's not The Robin Walter Show. It's just Robin Walter Show. And there are no spaces between my first and last name and the word show. It's just Robin Walter Show, all one word. Hit the search cue there up at the top, and you will pull it up, as some of you have, as we're just starting to get our first responses via Rumble. I've got a lot to cover today, and until I get done with the program, I don't even know what I'm going to get through here. There's so much. I'll probably have to spill it over to another program. I don't know what we're going to title it, but it will be appropriate. I first want to start off, though, with a reference to Joe Biden's Martin Luther King speech. Not even his two-hour rambling of a man with severe cognitive deficiencies that we heard the other day. It's been covered and will be covered for some time. And I mentioned to my wife, after I heard just a little bit of his two-hour Q&A, to try to prove to everybody that he actually had a brain. And all he really did, is feed Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. All he did was feed them with material for the next 2 weeks. So I guess if news is low, just go to Joe, and he'll give you material for a long time. But I'm not going to cover that. That's not what this program does, unless I have something that I sense, I feel like God has given me, that's unique or different on the particular topic that other hosts provide, or more relevant than that, there is a particular biblical insight to what I have heard or seen in the news that you should know about. And there's a lot I could say about that speech, but I want to go on to the Martin Luther King Day speech that he gave, because this is an example of why, if you don't learn history, you're bound to repeat it, and especially when it comes through the mouth of, frankly, a knucklehead like Joe. Am I being unkind? Am I speaking evil of the ruler, which Scripture prohibits? Well, Jesus spoke evil of the rulers too when what he said was true. If it's true and it's not done with a judgmental attitude, then it's okay. No one called anybody, this is interesting, nobody called anybody more names in all of the Bible than Jesus. Of the Pharisees, you whitewashed sepulchers, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites a gazillion times. About Herod, he called him a fox. Why? Because it was true. He was sly, cunning, on the evil side, with not so good things up his sleeve. So I'm not here to do that. And if I do it sometimes in error, yeah, I go off in the flesh, apologize in advance. But most of the time, it's just plain accurate. But in his speech, this comparison, trying to establish that Jefferson Davis, I will explain this for those of you like me who were raised in a government school, Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy, or Bull Connor, or George Wallace, the one who was a very outspoken racist in the 60s and early 70s, who once said segregation now and segregation forever. You know, pretty despicable. Although the guy came around, kind of like Manasseh, confessed and repented at the end of his life. That, but he's comparing or supposing in this speech that Republicans are three notable racists that he brought up. Jefferson Davis, George Wallace, and Bull Connor. Well, the interesting thing about this is that those individuals that he has suggested are Republicans are all Democrats. They're all Democrats, which is a point that we've made for a long time. You want to find the real racist in the room, just ask for a show of hands who's a Democrat. They are the real racists. That's why I call them Democrats. It's pure evil, from what I can tell. I can't find one good thing that they have done in virtually my lifetime that was from any plausibly sincere, altruistic attitude. But you see, Joe Biden, just kind of the mindless individual he is, that he makes these comparisons, and in what he's doing by calling these three historical figures Republicans, he's actually pointing out how racist Democrats are, because these were all Democrats. And then he goes to say compare Jefferson Davis, compared to Abraham Lincoln. Well, Abraham Lincoln not only was a Republican, he was the first Republican candidate at a time when of the reinvention, if you will, of the Republican Party. Before that, it was the Whigs, W-H-I-G-S, and Democrats. The Whigs were wiped out in the 1850s, and onto the scene came Abraham Lincoln, the first Republican. So interestingly, here's what he's doing. So Joe goes out and calls Jefferson Davis, who's a Democrat, suggests that he is the likes of a modern-day Republican. And then conversely, implies that Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, is in fact what he is today, that he's actually really a Democrat. He's totally flipped him aside and around. Boy, Joe, go look in the mirror, please, will you? If you can find your way to the bathroom, go down the hall, turn into the bathroom, look in the mirror, and you want to see a racist Democrat. And I only apologize for the use of a redundancy. He's staring at you, staring back at you in the mirror. And like Jesus said, or Apostle Paul said, you look into the mirror and you don't even know what it is that's staring back at you. And you turn and go your way, not even recognizing what you've seen. Well, okay, enough of that. We're going to get to a point that's going to maybe shock you today, and that's not the point of this program, to shock you, though the truth frequently is. It's hard to go a week without reverting back to some recent COVID headlines. And I need to share those today because they do point to what is going on and just how serious we are. And it's going to either set up the conclusion of this program or set up next week's program or the next podcast. How far I get, I don't know. But what we're looking at here is the head, the chief scientist for the World Health Organization, not an organization I've held in high esteem by any regard, but their chief scientist, the big honcho, the grand poobah of the World Health Organization, and I hope I'm saying her name right, Soumya Swaminathan. Easy for me to say? Well, not really. But Soumya, if I've mispronounced your name, I sincerely apologize, but I think I'm close. She has come out and said, quote, "There is no evidence right now that healthy children or healthy adolescents need boosters. No evidence at all," end quote. Now, she's sort of muddled on whether they needed the shots to begin with, but the fact of the matter, if she's coming out and saying that they don't need boosters when mindless Joe der Fuhrer Biden says everybody needs to be getting boosters, and I'm going to read a couple of things that are going to blow you away here, what's going on in a couple of states. If healthy children, healthy adolescents don't need a booster and there is zero evidence that it's helpful, she has not positioned herself to speak to whether they ever needed them in the first place. The statement would imply there was never a need. But she didn't say that. And the other thing that this may imply is that, okay, there's no evidence that they need them. She stopped short of saying that the boosters are doing more damage than good. She didn't have to say that, and she didn't say that, but it seems to be implied in her comments. Wow. Okay, so now how does this line up with the CDC? Well, the CDC doesn't agree with all of this, but they're now starting to, they have admitted this last week, that for children and adolescents, natural immunity is preferable to the vaccine. Why? Because hardly any child, unless they are really in poor health, with a bunch of comorbidities, I mean, the death rate is so infinitesimally small compared to what we now know to be the death rate from particularly young men, young boys, and adolescent boys from myocarditis and other things. For these aren't boys with comorbidities. These are healthy young boys that Joe Biden and the hospital monsters and the media are killing. There's blood on their hands. Maybe it was manslaughter. It was negligence before. But when you start to convey and impose the same things over and over that you now know that there's evidence emerging that are killing the people, now does it become murder? Yeah. Now it becomes time to start taking the body count, which they don't want to do because the whole narrative is done. But it is unwinding for a particular reason, and that is because the left eventually will turn on each other within the left. They're thieves. They're liars. Thieves and liars always turn on each other. And you know, this interesting thing, if you we have this expression about partners in crime, right? Well, who do these partners in crime fear? Do they fear the witnesses that saw their last hit job? Do they, well, to some extent, yeah, I suppose. Do they fear the cops? I'll tell you who they fear. They fear each other because they know fundamentally that they cannot trust each other. And this is the way left-wing government agencies, entities, and representatives of those entities operate. They actually fear the exposition of their dirty deeds. And when they do that, or when that happens, they will turn on others within the left. Now, that's only after they can't beat the crap out of Republicans and conservatives. They'll give that a try first. Because they do have a pattern. They do have a pattern. And the first one is they'll ignore what comes out of the right, out of the conservative circles. And until they can no longer ignore it, then they will obfuscate the issue. They'll try to muddle it. They'll try to make it confusing and lead the person making the charge and the people listening to the people making the charge believe that the issue is too complex to figure out, and they'll try to explain it, but that's not really their duty. Then when they can no longer obfuscate, confuse, and muddle the issue, because evidence continues to come out, they will deny it. And when more evidence comes out that they can't deny it, then they will try to shift the blame to Republicans. And when they can no longer shift the blame, they call out the media attack dogs to help them out. And when that doesn't work, they start to turn on each other. They will begin to eat their young. And I will sit on the sideline and cheer. And when one of them goes down, sing gloriously, lead the parade down the street entitled Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. This is beginning to happen. Doctors who are desperately trying to save their precious stinking reputation, but they took money for a false diagnosis. They're taking money for having somebody die in the hospital with COVID. They get money, as Dr. Robert Malone's pointed out. If they die in the hospital from COVID, doctors and hospitals get that. You got coroners that get tipped for coming up with a death by COVID diagnosis. But what this reminds me of, interestingly, is the great Brinks robbery. It's not a train robbery. It was a bank robbery, I think, in Boston in the 1950s, or I want to say 1950, but sometime in the 50s. And there were 8 or 9 of them involved. 8 or 9 thugs, 8 or 9 thieves. They lie, steal, would they kill? Yeah, if they had to, of course they would, to protect themselves. They would do that. They planned this robbery for over 2 years, down to every single meticulous nuance of the operation. Did it succeed? Yes. It is, as of that time, based on the value of money, the largest single bank robbery in the history of the United States. And they had a little plan. That's it, to give each one of the partners in crime a little bit of money for their participation. Then they were going to stash the money for 7 years. And why 7 years? Because 7 years was a statute of limitations. If the feds could never find the money, they'd have a hard time pulling off the conviction for the bank robbery, or so they thought. But lo and behold, 6 years, 360 days or so later, it falls apart. One party accuses another party of taking money that they weren't entitled to prematurely. Now they want their money. And why? Because they were partners in crime. They do the same thing and align with somebody we know in Scripture called the devil, who it says comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who they were ultimately partners with, but they can't trust each other, and the federal agencies and the people running them cannot trust each other because they're not there for everybody's good. If they were, they would have told the truth. You know, I don't often quote the devil on this program, but sometimes he says things that are generally true. There's some things he said about Jesus, they were true. He's got a twist and certainly the wrong attitude. But he says some things that are true, and some unregenerate men will say some things that are true, and unfortunately sometimes Christians will say things that are not true. But the devil says to God in the book of Job, Job 2, verse 4, he says, "Skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life." Now, that's generally true. It was not true of a regenerate man, a righteous man like Job, who didn't go that distance. He said, "Though God slay me, I will not turn on him. I will not curse him." But you see, unlike the recent Jeopardy contestant who called it the Book of Job, and I don't know if he was talking about some book that Steve Jobs wrote, but actually the question pertained to the Bible, that old Book of Job. Well, the fact of the matter is, they're going to eat their own, and they have started. So where do we go from here? I got to move on. I spent too much time on that. I don't know the listener who sent this in. I forgot. But I love this. Showed a person holding up a sign at a rally that said, taking things away from people until they say yes is not a choice. Thank you to whoever sent that in. Taking things from people until they say yes is not a choice. That's intimidation, harassment, suppression. It is exploitation. It is a government doing a really bad impersonation, but getting increasingly better of Hitler's Third Reich. But the narrative is falling apart. Steve Kirsch came out and he said, you know, the vaccines aren't safe. They're all the prominent, formerly pro-vax documents are starting to turn on the vaccine. Cloth masks don't work. The CDC finally admitted the cloth masks don't work. The only ones we think work are the P100 respirators. Well, let me ask you, have you seen Rochelle Walensky wearing one of those suckers? Looks more like footage from World War I and a gas war. But who's taking a clue from these recent admissions of the CDC and from the WHO? Certainly not the state of Oregon. They just came out and said they're considering the idea of making the wearing of masks indoors from 5 years old and up in a public place permanent. None of this, oh, until February 15th, oh, until March 1st, oh, until June 5th, in which time that they, you know, reinstate the order, because they realize that reinstating the order every 30 days, like Gretchen Whitmer was doing, ultimately costs them their respect. And that's all they want to do, is be, idolized by the lemmings that are out there. Everyone age 5 and older will, if this passes, will be required to permanently wear masks indoor in all public spaces. Because of why? Because we have a huge problem, even though the Omicron cases are going down. No. We want to be prepared for the next one. At that point, all 9 of you in Oregon who listen to this program, aren't too many conservatives left in that state, take note. It's time to begin suing. Yes, get a good lawyer and sue the guts out of all authorities in the state of Oregon. Because why? And it's no longer an emergency order. You can't get an emergency order authorization if you don't have an emergency. And with Omicron going down, Delta gone, they don't have an emergency except for the one that they're hoping comes along so they can keep you in control. So how can they tell you, you got to wear a mask, we're ordering you, we're going to haul your sorry derriere off to jail, parents, if you don't make your kids wear masks, when there is no reason to wear a mask? It no longer is an emergency. They're making it up based entirely on the emergency to come, which there's no guarantee is. Until there is a guarantee there is, then there's no basis for ordering you to wear a mask. Get ready to sue. Problem is, all the government authorities that get sued and everybody that recovers, well, we the taxpayers now have to pay for that too. Dr. Joseph Mercola, great guy, he has suggested that the studies, the facts, the data, which he's fine releasing, but Moderna's not fine releasing, Pfizer's not fine releasing, suggest that children are harmed more by the vaccine than they are by COVID. Because it's not just a matter of comparing deaths of otherwise healthy children as a result of the vaccine to the relatively few that die from COVID with multiple comorbidities. He goes on to say that those children would not have all the other issues going on, even the ones with the comorbidities, who would likely have survived COVID by wearing the mask. They're not able to avoid all of the other problems that are showing up, such as cognitive issues in school, kids not being able, at the ages of 3 and 4, being able to speak as quickly, and they're developmentally stung. Because much of a child's learning to speak is watching the lips of an adult, right? Even if it's a Democrat, even if it's a Democrat, who has it said? I know. Oh, it was Jesse Helms, a senator from North Carolina, said, "I know when the Russians lie, their lips move." Well, that's now applicable to Democrats. Always has been, frankly. But the fact is, the mask wearing, the social ostracization if you don't, the intimidation and reclusiveness if you do, and you're forced into your corner, and no facial recognition, it's leading to everything from dental problems to suicides. And that's why Mercola is saying mask wearing. Screw the stinking vaccines. We've already dealt with that. But get down to the mask level. At the mask level, the harm is doing way, way more good. Well, as I covered a couple of weeks ago, I hope more people listen to this program. We didn't have quite the podcast exposure at the time that it came out. But if you go back and look up January 6th, Joe Biden and the SS, the Schutzstaffel, where I cover the fact that the SS, which was basically Adolf Hitler's protection goon squad, was then largely volunteer, paid at the top like the FBI, and thank you whoever from Rumble sent in just a few minutes ago, defund the FBI, because that was in response to the comment I made. The only way you can bring these guys around is to spank them financially. Cut their budget 25 or 50%. Did I ever think I would want to defund the police? No, and I don't want to defund the police, but I'm ready to begin partial defunding at the least of the FBI. You got to spank those suckers. But aside from that, the Schutzstaffel, which at the paid level is the FBI and DOJ, hopefully not the IRS, but probably will become that. It was, under Adolf Hitler, largely volunteers. And who are those volunteers today? Those volunteers today are Facebook, Google, all the Twitter, all these crappy, crappy social media organizations. I'm not on any of them. I have no intention of ever being on them. But all Joe Biden had to say, old Joe Darefear Biden had to come out and say that he was calling on the media companies to help end the misinformation and disinformation. When in reality, the source of the misinformation and disinformation are the mainstream media companies. So he's calling on those who are guilty to get rid of those who are innocent. How does the Schutzstaffel, Joe Darefear Biden's new SS, work? Well, Joe said it has to stop. They jumped right to it. Go to DirecTV. I used to have those guys. They came out and instantly dropped One America News. OAN. Got the left foot of fellowship. Cut off instantly because of the Schutzstaffel. DirecTV is part of the SS. Now out there to protect the reputation of Joe Biden, what little he has left. And it's their job to harass, intimidate, impose, suppress the truth, and ultimately to punish those who oppose politically Der Fuhrer. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact. My dog might be a Democrat.
We are back. This is the Robin Walters Show. Okay. I finally figured it out. I know when the pandemic is going to end. I can tell you. I can't tell you the exact date, but I know why and generally speaking when it will end. It will end at that point in time, which it is necessary for it to end, at least through the social goon squad we just described, the SS. It will end just in time to try to save the Democrats from a humiliating defeat this fall, November. Sometime, I'm going to guess the late spring, maybe early summer, which of course there's always a cutback in disease and the flu and pneumonia and all of that stuff come warmer weather. It picks up in colder weather. So all the normal diseases, they start to taper off in late spring and furthermore in early summer, but it will be seized upon by the media to declare that the pandemic is over. Joe, dare fear Biden is a hero. They will do whatever is necessary, and I mean steal, kill, and destroy. We've already covered that. They'll do whatever is necessary to ensure that the positive spin is set up just in time to begin to salvage the sorry butts and derrieres of Democrats running for re-election to try to stave off a Republican takeover, which I'm not convinced the Republicans will sweep into office. Everybody else is. I don't know that. I just know when on social media, by and large, a pandemic will end because it has to. So look, they used this to get into power. They've used this to grab more power, but they can't keep doing it to stay in power. They've got to find a way to paint themselves as heroes. Notwithstanding the fact that we are now, and I'm back to this SS piece here, actually. We now have 25 federal agencies that are tracking their employees, filing away their names, address, blah, 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 all the information necessary to be able to track them down after they've tracked them in the paper file and the computer file to track them down physically, but that's not happened yet. It's just starting. The tracking of all of and 25 federal agents, employees who have religious exemptions. I have never felt for a second that a religious exemption was the way to go. I'm okay with it because you got to find a God-fearing way to keep your job. I understand that. And if you can't, you walk. God's got something better for you. In fact, a lot of good businesses are formed out of crappy times when people have no other choice but to do something on their own or in league with some like-minded people. 25 agencies. Why do they have to track the religious employees? They're not tracking anybody else. I think we should start tracking Democrats that buy guns. After all, most of the mass murderers are people are left-wing whack jobs. They all hate Republicans. They all hate conservatives. You go right on down the line, the mass murders in this country. They're either on drugs, and they tended heavily leaning towards the left because the left is increasingly anarchistic. And that's exactly what a mass murderer is. He's anarchistic. The guy that was in the Jewish temple in Colleyville, Texas, the one that the FBI, again, lying through every orifice in the FBI, states that there were no known, you know, Jewish connection or animosity, no anti-Semitism. They are eating their lunch on that. And if we can get to it, we got to do a program that details just how bad the FBI is. Federal Bureau of Investigation, federal batch of incompetence. I don't know. There's other things to stand for that. So why are they tracking you? Why would, let me just ask this rhetorical question, which it has to be asked. Why would the federal government have any reason to track people who have obtained a religious exemption, but for the purpose to later come after you? Somebody write me, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. robinwaltershow@gmail.com, and give me a legitimate reason why religious exemptees would have to be tracked, but for the reason to subsequently track them down. Now, we broadcast out of the great state of Arizona, one of only two states, I might add, that actually has the word God in the state motto. Arizona, and I think it's Ohio. I forgot what the Ohio one is. In Arizona, it says God and riches. So when I read that Biden's regime is threatening to rescind COVID-19 funding from Arizona over Arizona's freedom rules, which they interpret as anti-mask rules, because people in Arizona, by and large, have far more brains and are more moral than those running the regime. When they threaten to rescind the funding, now I'm looking to somebody who I don't know if they've got the cojones to do it, Doug Ducey. Can he stand up and resist this? Can he push back? In a letter sent to the Treasury Department warned the Arizona state that it has 60 days to remove or redesign your anti-mask mandate provisions that the Biden administration deems inconsistent with the purpose and requirements of the Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Funds Program. Okay, Doug Ducey, can I speak to you? Tell Joe Biden and his administration they know where they can stick it. And I mean that. We don't need no stinking funds of yours. But if you, in your virtue signaling, der Fuhrer, and your lemmings, Fauci, Tony Fauci and the Faucinistas, descend on Arizona, Arizona needs to do one thing, which is a variation. This is the way by which you tell them to stick it. Ducey simply stands up, and I would do this if I were governor. I can't run for governor. I haven't been here for 5 years. Got to be here for 5 years before you can do that. And I'm not saying God's calling me to that. Do that. I just happen to know that I can't. You tell them, okay, Joey baby, you withdraw our funds. We are declaring a tax holiday in the state of Arizona. No one in the state of Arizona needs to any longer pay any federal income taxes, employer taxes. You can pay the Social Security, because even if you don't live in the United States, and we've just completed the de facto secession by saying that, even if you don't live in the United States, you still get your Social Security. If you pay it in, you get it back. So keep paying in your Social Security, but none of the other taxes. Your move, Joe. Come on, Joe. Your move. You're going to bring down the National Guard here to try to make everybody wear the masks? Is that what's next? I mean, you've got, I forgot the congressman, goodness sakes, what an absolute loser, that said that the National Guard, I got to find it here. I don't know, maybe I'll have to bring it out next week. But anyway, they said that, you know, the National Guard needs to be brought into that particular state to make people be quarantined until they take the vaccine, which we're going to get to, maybe not today, I hope so, but maybe not, an incredible survey that will describe the extent of what constitutes pure, undiluted evil. And this is where our government is. But Arizona, you need to just stand up. Texas, just stand up. You need two states to push back. Without two dots, you can't form a line. You got to connect two dots. There needs to be two states that push back and say, we aren't doing it. We know, just stick it up your rear end. I know there's not much room because that's where your head is. But that's what the state's going to have to do. Make the feds move further in a way for which we know that Republicans, independents, and even some Democrats will catch the drift and not support that action. And I got something else I have to share. If we have any Democrats listening to this program, we'll be right back.
This is Robin Walter, and this is a first for me. You know, in 16 years on the air, I have never promoted a product because I hear others do it. And truth be known, they say they use the product, and, well, they did once. But I want to introduce you to Dissident Soaps, a fine company promoted by Gab News because it's a moral, patriotic American company that makes fine products. Absolute best deodorant I have ever used. Great shampoo, and they even have me now using body wash, which is not, always a guy thing. But check them out online at DissidentSoaps.com. That's Dissident, D-I-S-S-I-D-E-N-T, if you graduated from a government school like me, .com. But be sure and tell them that you heard it on The Robin Walter Show. We are back with the Robin Walter Show. Okay, during the break, I found it. I had it in a stack of stuff somewhere. The Salt Lake Tribune. I thought Utah was a conservative state. I mean, they always vote Republican. What is this absolute gibberish, nonsensical crapola coming out of the editorial board of the Salt Lake Tribune? They are the ones that are calling for the National Guard to be deployed to keep the unvaxxed at home. Now, we're already going to know what federal employees are unvaxxed because why? They've got the record. They've got what we're talking about. They've got the names and addresses of all the people who've taken religious exemptions. They've already got that, so the National Guard knows exactly what homes to come to keep the unvaxxed at bay. This is what this loser paper. You know, I don't even know anything about the Salt Lake Tribune, but it now takes a prestigious place next to the LA Times and the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune and a few others, as papers that frankly aren't good enough to use to train a new puppy. That's right. Puppies deserve at least something better than that to crap on, frankly. Right? This isn't even good enough for that. The board says, were Utah a truly civilized place, the governor's next move would be to find a way to mandate the kind of mass vaccination program what we should have launched a year ago, going as far as to deploy the National Guard to ensure that people without proof of vaccination would not be allowed, well, anywhere, end quote. So let's just recap this for a minute. So if the federal agencies, 25 of them now, have a list of all the employees that took the religious exemptions, since we have a bunch of woke corporate entities, if you think big business is on the side of Republicans, you're totally misled, deceived. The big corporations today are the biggest wokesters out there. They're not on your side. Not at all. I love to see competing companies come up like Dissident Soaps that you just heard the ad for to compete with Procter & Gamble. Yay, even better, drive them out of business. Love to see it. But if they know where the people are that have taken the religious exemption that work for the federal government, and the federal government just has to simply say to the corporations, what are the names of your employees that have taken a religious exemption? Because we're building a database. They'll turn them over. So I don't like, you shouldn't have to have a religious exemption to not take the vaccine. The only reason you need is, I'm not going to take something that has a good chance of killing me or putting me in the hospital or causing me a life of debilitation to some degree. But you see, the moderates now, this is the left-wing moderate position. Force should be used to keep people at bay and in their homes unless they, for emergencies, for health, and to get food. Obviously, they would be causing a starvation environment to be further than that. But did you listen to what I just quoted from the Salt Lake Tribune? Were Utah a truly civilized place, the governor's next move would be to find a way to mandate the kind of mass vaccination campaign we should have launched a year ago, going as far as to deploy the National Guard to ensure that people without proof of vaccination would not be allowed, well, anywhere. The Salt Lake Tribune is not even making room for emergencies and groceries. They've moved past that moderate position, left-wing position. They just decided, you know what? We're trying to fake it as though we're not really Nazis. But what's the point anymore? Why fake it anymore? Let's just be full Nazis. You can't go anywhere, not be allowed anywhere. Which leads to the next piece. Who is it that the majority of the people consider to be the biggest liars in American society today? This comes from the Edelman Report, a very conclusive survey, if you will, highly regarded, maybe not quite as high as Rasmussen. Rasmussen is the gold standard. We'll get to them in a minute. Who is lying to us? Well, they believe that there's a lot of people that believe that the business leaders are the ones doing the most lying. And business leaders are doing a lot of lying. You forget the National Chamber of Commerce. What a bunch of brown nosers. But more than the business leaders are the people who are convinced that the leaders in government are the ones that are deceiving the people. But I'm here to tell you a shocking fact, or maybe it's not shocking. The government leaders are actually in second place to those who the most people consider to be the biggest liars. More people think that the biggest liars functioning in the United States today are journalists. That's right, journalists. You go to some reputable school of journalism, you get a degree in indoctrination and propaganda. They suck. I mean, and who goes to journalism schools? People like the president's spokeswoman, right? And who is she? Jen Psaki. Because that's what she does. She sucks. Jen Psaki. That's a school of disinformation and misinformation, which the left concludes that conservatives are guilty of. But like most people on the left, they are very quick to point out the problems and the blame of others, of which they themselves are actually uniquely and exclusively guilty of. That's the way they operate. More people distrust journalists today than government leaders and business leaders. Wow. And I agree. You see, there's only so many government leaders, but we got a gazillion journalists, very few of them having the cojones to tell it like it is, because they're fearing some smackdown, or like I said, more likely they just get graduated from some elite school of propaganda, and they only know what they teach. Better described as simply garbage in and garbage out. And now, to the story, which I will not be able to completely cover, but it is going to set us up for next week's program, which you've got here. I wanted to cover some other things this week. I couldn't get to them. other things just keep bumping their way in first place. You know, like the guy in back in school, junior high, the kid who cuts in line at the lunch thing. Well, we might yell at the guy, but we never kick him out. He just ends up getting served first. Well, these issues get served first. Why? Because apparently the hunger need is the greatest. To the Rasmussen poll, the best poll in the United States. A poll so good that all the lemming polls of CBS, NBC, all the alphabet media companies emulate, but they won't admit, because whether it's CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, it doesn't really matter. All those losers around election time will take their own polls in an effort to reflect public opinion. No, 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 no. They never reflect public opinion. They take polls with questions framed to induce or sway public opinion. They know they're wrong, but that doesn't stop them. And why? Because they're Democrats. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Partners with the devil, as far as I'm concerned. But what happens to them, amazingly, on the very earliest of hours on election eve, or the latest of hours, the earliest of hours on election day, they're silent. You won't hear them say much until later in the day. They will have a revised poll that matches Rasmussen. But the damage is already done. And that way, when they glom onto Rasmussen's reports, they can claim that they called the election, when in fact, the election day was preceded by 9 months of distortion, misinformation, and lies. It's their stock and trade. After all, like I said, you know, the Bible calls Satan the father of lies. Well, if he's the father of lies, then Joe Biden is his firstborn son. And he's doling out tchotchkes to all the volunteer, the SS, the Schutzstaffel, that are trying to keep that ignoramus in office, so they can carry on their nefarious deeds. The Rasmussen Report. Reports. I got to start with this next week, or maybe tomorrow. Maybe I just do a shorter podcast tomorrow and we drill down on this baby, because it is so important and it reflects the depth of the darkness that's prevailing over this country. The number of Democrats that support harsh measures against the vaccinated. I'm sorry, against the unvaccinated. I'm going to give you a couple of tidbits. 55% of Democratic voters would support fining people who are unvaccinated. 59% of Democratic voters. This is a margin of error of only plus or minus 3%. That's how good Rasmussen is. 59% of Democratic voters would favor a governmental policy requiring that citizens remain confined to their homes at all times except for emergencies if they refuse to take the jab. 48% of Democrat voters think federal and state governments should be able to fine or imprison individuals who publicly question the efficacy of the existing COVID-19 vaccines on social media, television, radio, or online or digital publications, which means 48% of Democrats think the federal and state governments should fine the Robin Walters Show. So much for the First Amendment. Screw the First Amendment. That's their position. Their First Amendment is reserved for those people who think exactly like they do. 45% of Democrats would favor governments requiring citizens to temporarily, you ready for this one? 45% of all Democrats favor governments requiring citizens to temporarily live in designated facilities or locations if they refuse the vaccine. 66% of them support the government using digital devices. I'm sorry, got the wrong number. 47% of Democrats favor a government tracking program, including the use of digital devices to track the unvaccinated. How far are Democrats willing to go to punish? 29%. 29% claim or would support the government temporarily removing parents' custody of their children if parents refuse to take the jab. What do we do about it? I have got to get this podcast off. I'm going to pick up from there because we are going to touch on probably one of the most sensitive issues you could touch on. To what extent, under what circumstances, would it be right for U.S. citizens to use force and, under the appropriate circumstances, lethal force if the vaccine Nazis show up at your door? And we are going to use a biblical reference from the book of Esther. Yeah, that Jewish babe, I don't know what it was. She was just really hot, I guess, because Ahasuerus would do whatever she wanted. That's why she was made gorgeous, because he was a key feature. Come back tomorrow, next week, for the next program. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you.